Hey, everybody. Today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Las Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com.
And please come to our live show, Las Culturistas Live, I Don't Think So, Honey, at Littlefield on March 21st at 8 p.m.
50 comedians doing 50 segments of our I Don't Think So, Honey. Get your tickets at foreverdogproductions.com.
Yes.
All right. Enjoy the show.
Come on.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about hey now. Aiko, ande. Giacomo, Fino, Anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. Rukuku, it's time for culture.
Rukuku, all my birds, I know you're at home listening, and I hope you're nestled in to your nest that you've made of twig and mud and spit. Because guess what? We got a great fucking episode today.
And look, before we move on, you may have noticed a little chill for our sponsors. Are we allowed to talk about this?
Oh, great. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Casper Mattress, honey, and Warby Parker. You better lay on it. You better put it on your face to see.
Okay. And we'll be hearing more from Casper and Warby Parker pretty soon.
You can guarantee we will.
And honey, we have sold out. This is the new us.
But
welcome.
I love it.
I love
you
it
know
too.
What? I'm like Katy Perry on her second album. Sell me out, bitch. Make me a pop star. Make me a Casper Mattress pop star.
Her second album after the first Christian pop one.
No, I'm talking about One of the Boys wasn't even sellout. Teenage Dream was a sellout.
You don't
moment,
think
honey.
One of the Boys was
nope,
sellout.
Nope. I think I Kissed a Girl, Hot and You're Cold. I think that's indie rock.
Indie rock, bitch. Absolutely.
That's what I think.
Wow.
And here's come for me in the comments.
Come for Matt in the comments below. But here, do not come for our guest because our guest is pristine.
No,
honey.
Do not come for our guest in the comments, even though you technically could, because she is a writer for Seriously TV, honey. And I would say, well, on her way to icon status.
I mean, I feel like she's already a preeminent icon with, you know, the Barchler Patty Reviews Exotic Animals Edition.
Truly amazing.
Truly
and
work.
Really made a star in Nature Nick.
Oh, Nature Nick.
I think
we'll talk
Nature
about
Nick
Nature
is
Nick.
A full star.
We will talk about Nature Nick at length, honey. And you might have also seen our guest as one of the co-hosts of It's a Guy Thing at Union Hall, one of the best variety shows in New York.
Ugh, Catherine Cohen, Mitra Drahara, you might have heard of them, whatever.
You might have heard of them, whatever. Who and knows? She's just a star on the rise, honey. Please welcome our guest, Patty Harrison.
Oh my God, Rukuku.
Rukuku. Looks like there's a bird here with us.
Rukuku, chirp, chirp. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hey, I am very good. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for all of those plugs.
Oh, all the plugs. And I mean, yeah, you got to plug.
You got to plug. Yeah. Guys, we're all drinking some delicious Marcel Malbec.
Plug ooh, that.
Plug
yeah.
that. We're this was bottled last week, honey.
It's Malbec?
It's Malbec.
I thought it was Malbec.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what? Absolutely, it is Malbec.
It is Malbec. I'm sorry, but you know what?
French-Canadian Bowen Yang got that wrong.
I got that wrong. It's okay. One time, my social studies teacher in seventh grade accused me of not being a real Quebecois because I said I accidentally let slip Quebec. I added the qua sound instead of the k.
Quebec.
And yes, and then my social studies teacher was like, well, Bowen, you're not a real French Canadian, are you? And I was like, look, show me your Canadian passport, show me your dual citizenship, and then I shall grant you that, honey. And I was about to get in her face, but I did not have the words, honey.
That person sounds disgusting.
You have the words now.
Now I do. I did not know how to speak until very recently. Patty.
I had a seventh grade social studies teacher who hit on one of the girls.
No.
Yes, he did.
No.
Yes, his name was Mr. Should I say his name?
No, don't, please don't.
I won't say his name.
Don't say
let's just
his
say
name.
His last name was another word for when you take a small sleep.
Whoa. Okay. And Patty, any middle school teachers who may have, you know, preyed upon students?
Yes. Yeah. Actually,
yeah.
Yes.
Tell us.
We had a teacher that... it wasn't in my time. It was in my sister's time.
Oh.
But he I shouldn't even say his position because he's still, I think he's still at the school because he was working there when I was. But when my older sister was in high school, he offered to drive one of the girls back from volleyball and then tried to touch her in the car and she jumped out of a moving car.
Oh my God.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's so cool.
And it's so cool that she was able to do that. Did she roll when she hit the ground?
She went into a round off back handspring back tuck. And he was like, that's what I was trying to get you to do. He was also the gymnastics coach. Is this in good taste?
This has been
and
beautiful
then
taste.
That girl
was
booked Black Widow. She was Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
And Patty's older, and Patty's sister is, what,
Eliza
Dushku.
I
was going to say Eliza Dushku.
I said any name that came to my mind. Eliza Dushku. And then, of course, that's how they booked her for Bringing On when she did the round off back handspring, back tuck, back handspring, flying, back twisted layout.
Full step out.
Yeah, oh my God. The step outs were the best part.
Oh my God. I love that movie. I did see it again, and it does not hold up.
Yes, it does. It does
it
hold
does.
Up.
It's,
it does
it's,
hold up.
For being a teen movie, it is very nuanced in the message. I remember.
I mean, the message is great, but I'm saying, like, some of the humor, it's like, all right.
Of course.
I remember watching it when I was, like, 10, and being like, why didn't Torrance win?
Yeah,
like I was like at the end, I like missed the point.
Right.
And now it's like very relevant.
It's very relevant,
100%. And it's crazy how much it holds up. Also,
it's
one
relevant.
Of the best scenes, maybe in all of '90s film, I think happened, which is the toothbrushing scene with Kirsten Dunst. And first of all, let me say Queen Kirsten Dunst.
Yes. Made a glamorous and return at the Oscars this past week.
She looked unreal the Oscars.
I didn't see her.
Okay.
Oh. We'll
I'll show
up.
You a picture of it later. She just totally nailed it.
She nailed it.
And I hate making it about what they wore, but like I couldn't deny. Like she just looked amazing.
No, Matt and I were watching it together, and then Matt goes, "This is Kirsten saying, remember me, bitch?"
No, this is Kirsten saying, "I'm back." And also she's been saying it because she's actually been quietly doing great work for like a long time.
Sure, within the past 5 years.
Like
Melancholia.
Fargo, the television show.
Yeah.
Melancholia.
Yeah.
Big time. Like, she's just good.
No, she's great.
And if you think about it, she's actually been very present in, like, kind of movies where, like, we were growing up. Like, she was in fucking Jumanji.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She was in
Interview with the Vampire.
Interview with the Vampire.
Interview with Vampire Diaries.
Interview with the Vampire Diaries. Yes. And also, who could forget? I mean, the Ridge, Mary Jane in Star Wars.
Yes.
Star Wars. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's Star's War.
You're
putting the S
on
the wrong part.
I said Star Wars. I meant Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I mixed up my multi-billion dollar franchise.
I looked at you like you're fucking
Star Wars.
Star's War.
Spider Wars.
Spider Wars. You know they'll do it.
I would see if there was no context and someone was just like, hey, Kirsten Dunst's movie coming out this weekend, Spider Wars.
Spider Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Run, don't want.
Go.
Don't even fucking ask me. Don't give me a choice. I don't want the choice. I would go.
I'd smoke
I
a pound
to
of weed and then I'd go see Spider Wars. I hope it's literally just like someone like on like an old camcorder like following a spider like ding 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 ding.
No, I want it to be this an old elderly woman with a bag of spiders just tossing it out into an open field and another elderly
woman. And then
being
like, go.
Yes. And then she's battling against another elderly spider handler.
Wait,
who
then,
plays the elderly woman?
Yeah, where's Kirsten?
Kirsten, okay, I want Kirsten to voice the general of the
yeah.
side that you root for, and I want the women to be played by
Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Famous elderly actress
Charlotte Gainsbourg.
And let's see,
Isabelle Huppert.
Isabelle Huppert.
And that, and she wins the Oscar for that,
for Spider Wars.
She loses for a lot. She loses for Elle to Emma, but she wins for Spider Wars.
Oh, best supporting actress.
Best actress.
Is that Paul Verhoeven?
Yes.
Yes. I did not see
I
it.
I love him. Yeah. I did not see that movie, but I love him.
See, and I not only did I not see that movie, but also I haven't seen Moonlight, You Get Got.
Yeah.
I didn't see it either.
Really?
We
you guys got to get to it. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. I was subtweeted today by Sudie Green, who said, I know who all of you are who haven't seen Moonlight. And she's talking about me and Mo Fry-Pasek. Happy
and
birthday.
And Patty Harrison now.
And Patty Harrison.
Oh, shut up.
You guys
said, don't come for me. Don't come for me in the comments. Don't come for me on the podcast.
You know what?
Come for
I'm
you.
Sorry. Do not come for Patty in the comments. Sudie Green, you are blacklisted.
Sudie Green, how about this? a snooty.
How about this snooty green?
Yes.
Snooty mean.
Snooty drag mean. Her. Drag her.
Snooty mean.
Honestly, she deserves it.
Honestly. Yeah.
Shout out to snooty mean.
Wow. Shout out to snooty mean.
Thank you.
But listen, guys, we should at this point, we've now dived way back. Mm. We've dived back into history. Mm. Yes. It feels like an appropriate time.
We want to ask Patty the question we ask all of our guests.
Yes. Mm.
Which is, Patty, what was the culture growing up that made you think, culture? I could get used to this.
What influenced you? What made you say, culture's for me?
Like, culture. I think I'm going to like this.
Yeah. It could be a movie. It could be a television show. It could be music. It could be just culture of life.
Just any culture?
Any culture. What influenced your path?
It could be suburbia. It could be whatever, yeah. You know.
Well, you see. Mm. I was very obsessed. I became very obsessed with like Toonami and anime, but like Cartoon Network. Like,
yeah. Let's talk about the Toonami lineups from when you were growing up.
Probably
when we were growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't have cable famously, but I would love Toonami. No, really. Okay, what are we talking about?
You thought it was a joke, but I didn't. I didn't truly have cable.
This is hard to move past, but excuse me,
you haven't seen Moonlight, Patty. So I'd be careful if I were you talking to me about things that you can't move past. All right.
Be careful.
I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's
this
fair.
Is a disaster.
Okay. So I guess, at first it was, Dragon Ball Z, and then Sailor Moon, and then later on there was Tenchi Muyo, there was Rurouni Kenshin.
I love Rurouni Kenshin. Oh my god!
And it's Samurai X now. I think if you like watch it on, they call it Rurouni Kenshin on Netflix?
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
I think
now.
They call it Rurouni Kenshin on. They probably call it Rurouni Kenshin across the board. But yeah, I remember the anglicized thing was like Samurai X. And it was like watered down a little bit because Rurouni Kenshin was pretty violent.
Yeah, they had to cut it. They did, I think, with like Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
I remember seeing a scene later.
Where Cell vomits. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, where it's like Trunks cuts someone in half.
Oh.
Or is it Trunks? Or someone cuts Trunks in half.
Oh, yes.
He takes a sword. It's during the Android Saga.
The Android Saga, iconic saga.
Yeah. That was a moment. Toonami was like, I became blindly obsessed with like Asian culture because I'm half Vietnamese and my mom did not try and, you know, indulge us in any way in Vietnamese culture. I think she was like escaping a lot of it.
Yeah,
so she was very much trying to be Americanized and like Americanize us. So, we never like, she never like taught us any Vietnamese really like went into any of the details. So it was very much like, we were Ohio people. And so it was exciting to me to feel like, some of these like people, I guess, are supposed to be like me, even though it was like a very glazing over of the, you know, that I'm not Japanese or that I'm not.
Well, yeah. And like, it was just the thing you could latch on to, just to be like, well, this is what Asian media means to, this is the closest thing I can come to with Asian media. I mean, that is, no, I relate to that fully. And even in a house where like, we did speak Chinese and we did like live that culture, like anime was like the thing that was like affirming for just what I would watch and read, like what I watch on TV and read in books or in manga, was just like, oh, this is something that was made relatively close to where my family's from.
Yeah.
it's weird.
It was huge.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon. I remember after school, just everyone gathering. And was Pokemon part of Toonami?
Mm-mm.
No. Pokemon was WB.
It was on, WB.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my God. Yeah, this is a throwback.
That's real time. Pokemon was a real culture stopper.
Yeah.
I remember the principal at my elementary school came over the loudspeaker and officially banned Pokemon from our school.
Yeah, we had that moment too. Yeah. Everything Pokemon was banned.
Yeah.
Wow.
First it was the cards, and then there were like erasers, pencil top erasers going around for a while.
Yep.
That like, because people would just ping them off stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then this got banned, and then they just banned everything. Like you couldn't even wear like a Pokemon shirt.
Yeah, oh my God. It was bad. It was like, people were doing deals.
That's
deals. Like people were trading cards before school, during breaks. It was like, and it was like transactions would be happening during school sometimes. And like, I guess it got to the point where the teachers just couldn't handle it anymore. So it got to the principal. And I remember we had to be sitting in our seats for this major announcement. It was like the fucking Sessions announcement today. It was like a press conference that the principal was having. And she was like, from this day forward, there will be no more of this.
Oh my God. Just think about, I don't know. I mean, sure, like, we had some Christian, like, families, like, forbid it and, like, force kids to, like, burn their cards.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's nothing inherently, like, bad or damaging about poker. It's so funny. It's like,
well, it was the fact that, I think it was the fact that, it wasn't even that it was a distraction. I think there was something to, people were getting really upset because they felt like they were getting ripped off with the specific trades that were happening. And there was a lot of, like, drama. And I remember even with my own cousin, I convinced him to trade me his Blastoise for a Venusaur. Uh-huh. I had two Venusaurs and he had one Blastoise, and we did the trade and said no trade backs prior, which was very important.
Yeah.
And at that point it was locked in. We handed over the cards and that was that. And my aunt called me later that night and says, Michael regrets trading the card, he wants it back from Matthew. And I was like, there's absolutely no way. I'm sorry, the deal's been done. Wow. I became like a businessman in that moment. I was like, no, the transaction is complete.
See,
but Matthew,
we're blood.
Michael regrets Matthew, please.
Michael regrets. It's like the Godfather moment.
Surely.
But it was crazy. And I remember it was part of that was like kids crying and kids being upset and kids being jealous of each other. It became this new materialism. It was like, he has a Charizard. He's socially worth more than us.
And still so.
Yeah.
And
still so. Yeah. But anyone that has a Charizard nowadays, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
You sit up straight around them.
They're in the upper echelon.
You get immediate head from me. I'll tell you that right now.
You get a Charizard, you get a fucking.
You get a Charizard, you get a blowjob. You know I have. Two teeth. I give them good. And they're right up, one right up top at the center and one right at the bottom of the center. They're so sharp. Two teeth. They're both incisors at the.
But kids will find
center
any.
Center of my mouth and mouth.
Kids will find any way to like barter and like pedal and shit. Like,
because it's
like
actually natural in the human body
there
to pedal.
Yeah.
There you
go. Barter. You learn how to barter. You learn. How currency works.
Yeah.
Social and capital.
Capital.
Honestly. And then remember the video game craze, the Game Boy shit?
God.
You probably still play.
I still play, honey.
I was very poor. I did not have a Game Boy, but people surrounding me did. And then I got a Game Boy by the time like Game Boy Color.
Yes.
That was like the second series of Game Boy Color. Right. That's when my friend who had money, who always got like toys as soon as they came out, he gave it to me.
Yeah.
And then I got to play a black and white giant Game Boy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But it was like,
I remember when the new ones would come out, and then I finally lost a handle on it when like there was all of a sudden 1,000 Pokemon. I was like, I forget it. I don't know these people.
Yeah, wow. I stopped. I had Pokemon cards for like a while. I think like into 8th grade. Yeah. It was when the symbol Pokemon.
Yes,
you know, where it was just letters.
Alphabets, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, remember when those animals came and they just made them letters? That's
like,
when
out
I
of
stopped.
Animals.
Yeah.
We're out of animals. Did you ever watch Fushigi Yugi? Because I was obsessed with that. No?
What is it about?
It's about this Japanese schoolgirl, of course, and she gets sucked into this ancient feudal Japanese world where she is deemed the priestess of Suzaku.
Oh,
and she's
God.
One of four priestesses who has to summon 12 other warriors that each in service to one of the four Japanese gods. And it's all out war. It
sounds literally fierce.
It sounds fierce, but also like there's a lot going on. It was very busy. Would have loved the simplicity of Spider Wars, honestly. Spider Wars, and we're going to keep coming back to this.
Spider Wars is literally just spiders fighting to see who can be the best spider, and I'm on board
for
that.
Board. Anyway, but no, Fushigi Yugi was great. But yeah, Toonami, did Toonami have, Johnny Bravo on it? No.
And that was Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, yes.
But it was a part, it was Cartoon Network. It was after.
Got it.
So it was like Powerpuff Girls and Johnny Bravo. Those cartoons, I think, came on because I think Toonami was from like
all
Florida. It was like anime from 4 to 7
p.m.
or something.
Did you ever?
I was allergic to Johnny Bravo, despite him being like
your type,
my type.
Right.
Big
and blonde.
I liked it when it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I recently saw a clip of the episode where he gets turned into a woman and he gets street harassed and he's like understands why it sucks to like harass women.
God, get out.
And it's like that's powerful, but they only did it for one episode. And I mean, it's like,
yeah,
my favorite are those shows for young kids are pretty. I mean, they're designed for young kids that have like a moral message for 1 second and then go back to being about stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
Like I remember I watched a Lizzie McGuire episode one time where Lizzie McGuire's best friend, remind me of her name. I don't know her name.
I watched that.
But
Gwebies
like isn't eating and Gordo and Lizzie notice. And I, for some reason, I know the actress's name was Lalaine, but I don't know the character's name. Miranda.
So this was a bit.
It seems like
Miranda. This is like eating disorder?
But she was like not eating.
Wow.
And it was like this plot line where she was like really kind of like struggling with food. And at the end of the episode, Lizzie McGuire has this monologue where she was like, we just want you to be happy. We're your friends. And to see you unhappy like really hurts us. And we want to make sure that you're okay. And like they had all had a hug. And I was watching it with my dad, who was a health teacher. And he's like, I'm going to show that to my class. And I was like, maybe, but like the rest of the show is about like her being a half a cartoon. I don't know what, like I didn't know. It was so stupid.
That show.
But then they did have that one episode. And then there was that one episode of That's So Raven where she goes to get a part-time job and she sees a vision of the person that owns the store saying, I don't hire black people.
Oh.
Wow.
So there, it was true. Like every now and then those shows would come out with a message.
Yeah.
A social app.
And of course, who could forget the Sabrina the Teenage Witch episode about abortion?
Is this
that
real?
Never happened.
Oh my god!
I was gonna say Harvey.
Harvey's like, oh Sabrina,
oh shit,
you can't do this without my consent. Yeah. She's like, yes, I can.
I would die. I would gag for what RuPaul was on Sabrina.
No,
yeah, look it up. It's on YouTube.
He's been on everything.
He's been on everything. True.
He was on Seth Meyers last night.
Really?
2 nights ago, for those of you listening.
I wonder, oh my god, I gotta ask our friend. Who works there? Who produces?
He produces the interview segment. So I guess he must have talked to RuPaul.
Henry Melcher, if you're listening, he would have told me. Sorry, we're not talking about Henry. We're not gonna do this.
We're not gonna do this. We're not gonna talk about any straight white men here today.
Sorry.
Not even our producer Joe, who looks really handsome today. Actually,
Joe looks really good.
Like you got a little bit of a haircut, and your facial hair looks great. You look great, Joe. It's also been a long time since we've seen you, so you look very handsome.
Very handsome.
What did he look like the last time?
Oh my god, fucking beast! Like you don't even understand. Like
fucking
disheveled. Fucking comes in here, has no presentation.
Ugly. Wide.
Wide and ugly.
Just like
stinks,
disgusting. Stink.
Like
a smell.
Unwiped
stink.
Ass.
Yeah, unwiped ass. Like when you got too much asshole crap in your fucking crack.
Or it's like they did one wipe, but it was a messy, muddy shit. And so they just made a line up their back. And they didn't care to do a second wipe.
Best insult I've ever heard in my life was in high school, which is these two kids were fighting. And the one kid goes to the other kid, yo, by the way, I fucked your mom. And you need to tell her that she needs to wipe her asshole better.
Oh.
Because she's still got crap in her asshole. All
right.
And then he spelled it out after he did it. He was like, because she's got shit in her butt. Just so you know, that's what that joke was. And it was just like, everyone was too shocked that he had gotten that explicit. But like, he won the fight.
Yeah, but by going real blue.
Did anyone check in with the mom?
I feel like her narrative was hijacked here.
Yeah, it's true. She's
and
got no. She really can't. She can't chime in the conversation.
Do you know why I didn't wipe my ass? It's because I don't have time. Because I'm doing this by myself.
I'm a single mother. I have to drive you to school, make your fucking sandwiches. I make them with my shitty hands.
And every time I fuck one of my son's students,
shit all over my hands.
Every time I fuck one of my son's classmates, I don't think about wiping my ass.
It's It's the only thing I have time. It's the only release I get. It's a very quick.
They have 40 minutes for lunch. Takes them 15 minutes to drive to my house. What am I going to do? Wipe my hands? No, I have to fuck these kids.
I'm not a monster for not wiping my ass. I am a monster for fucking a kid. But I'm also a single mom, and I'm very busy.
Understand my plight.
Oh, let's write that. I love it. Patty.
It's the sequel to Spider Wars.
Spider Wars 2.
Mom
who doesn't wipe her ass.
Yeah.
But fucks her son's classmate.
That's who Kirsten Dunst plays.
Yes, but she makes a return appearance. She reprises her role.
Reprise.
Whatever. I'm talking
musical. Reprise, reprise. Okay, here's a question.
Yes.
Answer it for all time. The second time a song is done in a musical, is it a reprise or a reprise?
Reprise is the noun, reprise is the verb. Done. Open and shut.
Okay, so to reprise something.
Yes. I use the word wrong with Kirsten just now, but it's a reprise when it's an object. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Just don't use it wrong again, and then we're good.
But I feel like colloquially, people just go wild. It's like people. Because I want to say biopic, but I've been told it's biopic.
No. I think it's biopic. I maintain that it's biopic. Biopic.
Reading it online for so many years.
What is it?
Biopic.
I did think it looked like biopic.
No, because they're
biopic. That doesn't sound right. It's got to be biopic.
Because
in my film classes, every professor and TA had said biopic.
No, because that's like them trying to sound smart by saying, like, rhyming it with the word myopic, which is not a genre. But you
Where'd you go to college?
Ohio University in Athens, Ohio.
Fuck yeah. Athens State School.
Athens
State School.
Was it a state school? Was it private?
No, Ohio State University. Ohio State is state. Yeah, we were an hour and a half south.
Did you and Mitra know each other?
Through college improv. We didn't go to school together, but we met at OSU's improv conference, which is great.
Which was was it a bellwether?
So you did improv in college.
I did.
And the whole bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my god, bellwether! I wish I would have. They invited us out there, NYU.
Oh, Danger Box?
We were this close to going, and then the trip just didn't work out.
Oh, you should have went. It's a blast. It's so good.
I know. I kind of wish and then maybe we would have met each other.
Yeah. I wish we would have done more trips. That's something, looking back in college, like, I wish our groups would have done more.
You guys did some.
We did some. I mean, but they were all East Coast, you know what I mean? Like, you guys went to L.A. one time.
Wait. We went to L.A. twice, yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I was at NYU as well, along with Bowen. But Bowen was in the improv group Danger Box, and I was in Hammercats, and we just, the sketch group. And we didn't really do a lot of trips. Yeah, like, we did a lot. We did one to, like, Yale.
We did D.C. together.
D.C. And then, of course, there was Skidmore.
Yeah. Washington Del Close.
somebody said a joke about Del Close today. It was like, I don't know who Del Close is, but I looked at a picture of me. It looks like a fucking asshole.
He was.
This, like, white guy with a big beard and, like, glasses. No one's ever seen his eyes.
Like, total fuckboy.
Hey, Matt, he is dead.
You're right.
And just so you know, you can fucking run your mouth all you want, but improv gurus can die. And when they do, it's hard on all of us.
Yes, you're right. You
and
know
they
what?
Can't respond.
And they can't respond. He probably got a shitty ass too. And you know what? I'll say that without him being able to respond.
Can we confirm that someone wiped Douglas's ass?
Yes.
Wait, Patty.
I'm sure we can.
Patty, I think Matt and I want to talk all about Patty Reviews, Exotic Animals Edition.
I love it. Can you tell us? Can you spill the tea on Nature Nick?
Nature Nick.
What's his deal?
No, as much I don't. I'm not as eager to let you spill the tea.
I just want to know his deal.
Okay, if he leads a private life, who are we to spill all this tea?
He
obviously loves the attention.
He is happily married, and he lets his wife name a lot of the animals.
they're okay. They're. And she's naming them. She's got the pants in that relationship. Yeah.
Yes. And they raise these animals and I think Long Island. He's very nice and formal, and
he's a good foil to you,
a great foil to you. But lately, I think Nature Nick is really just clocking this attention he's getting, because I think in the new episodes,
he's been a little more sassy.
He's been a little more sassy with you.
Well, that's the first series of episodes. My turtleneck mustache series. we shot all those in one day.
Right.
And then the second series, which are the ones that are being released now, and mm-hmm. there's like I think six more. So we did six at one time, and then we came back and did another six. And the second time he was like, I didn't understand really what you were going for the first time, but now that I watch it, I get it. It's like a funny thing. And I was like, yeah. So he was a good sport both times.
Totally.
But I think he understood his role.
His assignment.
His fucking place.
I did like how he was just earnestly in the first series just like, yeah, this is this animal, and well, no, Patty, I don't know about that, like, just answer your question.
I don't know about that.
Very yeah. very just innocently, I guess. But I mean, I fucking love, everyone loves this series, I think. How did you pitch this in the room? Was there did you do a Patty reviews of other stuff before, or was the exotic animals edition like an addendum to like something that didn't even exist before?
No. So this was actually something that was pitched helmed by Ethan Berlin, who is the creative lead. Mm-hmm. He is a light, and he truly. So he just basically said if we got an exotic animal handler just bring in a bunch of animals, would you want to shoot videos of them? And I was like, oh hell yeah, queen. Yeah. And then he was like, what would you want to do? I was like, I don't know. He's like, can you just like review them or something? So that was basically it. It was very loose.
I love it.
And very
reviewing animals.
Yeah, it's very it doesn't seem like it, but there's nuance, and we're saying things.
Yes.
As a trans woman of color, ooh. Everything I do is intrinsically political. Yeah, that word, yes.
Yes, that word,
you,
yes.
You caught me. I was going to say political.
And I was going to say political.
Yes.
Yes.
Say it, Matt.
Political.
Yeah, that word, yes.
Good.
How long did it take to shoot the first series? Because I feel like that shoot is, the first series is bonkers, crazy, amazing. And I'm like, how could you sustain that energy for a whole shoot, for a whole sesh?
It was, I think, I guess we got there, but the shooting, it was, I think, probably like 11 to 4:30 p.m. or 5 p.m.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say 11 hours. I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, fuck.
11 hours per animal. All animals, they all passed on from wear and tear.
Absolutely.
What is the best animal?
Oh, my God. Yes. Give us this.
I think that the animal I had the best time with.
The wallaby.
There was, the wallaby's mm-hmm. great. The parrot.
The parrot was insane.
There's a lot of stuff that didn't make it in. That is, so basically, there's another video coming out that's a kookaburra. and I think it has another name. It's like a kingfisher. It's like the type of bird. But basically, they're both very talkative birds, yes. like naturally, but raised, I guess, in the wild, they communicate with each other. Uh-huh. But since they're both raising captivity,
right.
they talk to, when they make noise, they talk to people.
Yes.
And, but they were, before we were filming,
mm-hmm.
they were both beside each other, like on, like in their cages.
No.
And they are just like responding to any noise. So when one would start, another would just start to go. And kookaburras are the loudest animal on earth.
God.
Like
it
is the funniest noise. And so the parrot's the same way. If you, as soon as you start to talk at the parrot, it just starts to be like that shit. And so as long as you do it, it will do it back. And the kookaburra is the same. So if you just like, it'll start to do it back. So, and that's so fun to me is when someone matches your energy in an improv scene.
Yes,
and then also
yes,
if
yes.
it's just a bird. I had so much fun matching energies with these birds. Those were really fun.
I think that's the quote. I think the Patty Harrison quote, not irrespective of this podcast, but I had so much fun matching energies with those birds.
Rukuku.
Rukuku! Come
honestly,
on!
I did recently write a song called All My Birds.
Yes.
And you guys can look out for it.
This is real. This is real.
This is real.
We were in Chicago and Matt just wrote this song one night. We were had just finished dinner. I don't even think you had that much to drink. This is not a drunken thing.
No, it never is.
You were inspired.
I think that it's going to be the first single off my untitled album, as of yet untitled album, and that'll be dropping pretty soon, I think.
I think the title of your album is going to be Joel Kim Booster Eat My Ass.
Joel Kim Booster Eat My Ass.
Yeah.
That's out of context, but Joel is in Australia right now, and he was on Tinder, and he came across a profile, which was this guy, Bryce.
Bryce.
And the first line was, Joel Kim Booster, eat my ass.
And then he said, I promise mine tastes better than Justin Trudeau's, because Joel famously posted a pic of Justin Trudeau's ass.
Do you think that that means that Joel is famous? Like, all of a sudden he was scrolling through, and do you think someone knew he was there? How did that come about?
That's what I think
it
is.
I hope that's what that means.
Me too. I hope I get famous enough to get...
Have people beg you to eat their ass?
On Tinder, on a real crapshoot of an app to, like... It's not like he was on Instagram and tagged him, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I hope that's what the reason was, too.
But, I mean, could it be anything else?
I'm sure that's the Occam's razor.
Right, it couldn't be anything
How
else.
Could we... What's a scary thing we could find about this?
Oh.
That maybe it's not a good thing.
That he...
Well, he obviously has an ass-eating stalker.
Or that his ass has some toxin in it and he wants to poison Joel.
Oh, my God. Do you think that there's a witch that's cast a spell on this boy?
I think
and
so.
He has a poisonous ass like an apple? And he's trying to lure Joel to eat the ass? So
no, not Bryce.
Joel will fall into a deep sleep?
No, Bryce wouldn't get anywhere near a witch. Fuck you. No,
and
shut
the
up.
Only way that to wake Bryce? Joel up from the sleep is to eat Joel's ass.
It gets passed on.
You know what's funny? I told my dad today about this podcast because I don't think he really got what it was. And he's like, oh, you got to send me a link. And now he'll just jump onto this episode and we're like talking about eating my friend Joel's ass.
Hi, Rich.
Okay, Matt's dad. Imagine this. It's like Sleeping Beauty, a story, but it's two gay men and one of the men is eternally asleep. And the only way to wake him up is to eat his ass. And when you walk up to his castle, he's laying face down and he's in a fucking jock strap and he's in a little cropped mesh football t-shirt. Laying face down.
Oh my God, yeah.
He's in a Penis the Band shirt.
That is probably Joel's outfit.
The iconic Joel look.
Oh my God. The iconic Joel look.
That I would write that. Patty is coming up with a bunch of these premises and I'm on board with all of them.
Well, she's trained to come up with premises now.
I know, but listen, I'm saying I'm greenlighting
left
and right.
I thought you were going to say she's trans.
But she's trans.
And like, wow, Matt.
Wow, Matt. What, the pejorative
That's where I was
sense.
Going with that.
Just so
trans
everyone
people,
knows.
People, they have amazing ideas.
Just so everyone knows, when I walked in the door, Matt turned around and he took his straw out of his tab soda and he winked at me and he said, she's trans. And then he turned back around and then he took off two fedoras.
Yes. It took two fedoras stacked on top of each other in completely different shapes.
Yes.
I dispute every word.
And that's when I knew that there was a fracture in the queer community between the trans and the gays.
That caused the fissure, absolutely. Yeah.
Right
oh
then
God.
And there.
Wait, Patty, I think there's a star a potential in your mother. Because Patty, over Thanksgiving break, I'm sorry to bring this up.
No.
But over Thanksgiving, but this was on Patty's Instagram story, and then she later, weeks later, posted it onto Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad she did. It's, so you start with an fade in on Patty's mom.
Fade in.
Scrolling on her phone. And then cut to Patty just doing the reverse shot of just us seeing what's on her phone. And then Patty has blurred out the phone screen and put an overlay on top of it. Is Hugh Jackman's penis real? And then it's just Patty's mom just scrolling through. And then cut back to Patty's mom scrolling. And then you hear off camera Patty saying, Mom, that's so gross. What are you Googling? And then Patty's mom is like, I'm not Googling anything. What are you talking about? And that performance, star making.
What are you talking about?
She can just access a gravitas in a way that I haven't seen, a comedic gravitas where it creates this juxtaposition. It's kind of
right.
like,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, I would say Anna Faris in Scary Movie.
Anna Faris in Scary Movie?
Not since Anna Faris in Scary Movie have we seen this gravitas.
Wait,
I watched Scary Movie 2 a couple of days
3
ago.
3 is the one you need to watch.
I had that VHS.
Fucking
I can
love
quote
3.
It from top to bottom. I
Same.
Come on.
One of my, it's my favorite one, and I'll say it again. The best scene in cinema history is when
Simon Rex walks out.
Simon Rex walks out of the classroom after getting a date with Anna Faris's character, and he closes the door, and all the crayons hit the door, and Regina Hall says, "Now who the fuck did that?"
Yeah.
I think the opening scene of Scary Movie 3 is true. I watched it again. Pamela Anderson and Jenny McCarthy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Both of them good. So good.
Yeah. Oh, she so goes, funny. And I love when like she sees like Pamela Anderson sees that Jenny McCarthy's like obviously dead. And she's like, "Are you okay?"
Her head falls off,
and she's like, "Are you okay?
Are you okay?"
The cow says blank. Oh no, the cow says blank.
Dude,
three letters. Dude.
And it's really funny to see you guys laugh. I don't know, you guys can't see this, but they are both beaming right now, smiles, and that is one of the most misogynistic scenes in a film. And as a feminist, watching this now is very, Patty. I'm learning.
Is it misogynistic, or are they having fun?
Women wrote that film.
Oh my God. I listened to Anna Faris on RuPaul's podcast, and she is just a cool fucking person.
Fucking Anna Faris is the best.
And the way she booked Scary Movie was nuts. Like, she like gave herself a year to like book something in LA, and she like was not a comedic actress.
Yeah, it's super dramatic.
All our friends were like, "You're not funny. Like, what are you
her
doing?"
Her roommate was like, "I don't understand. You're not funny."
And then she went in for Scary Movie, and like the Wayan brothers loved her. And then she just did the first fucking movie.
I think that's why.
I think
it's why it's so funny is that she plays, it's the dumbest premise of all time, and she just delivers every line so sincerely.
It's very earnest,
And that's, it's very inspired so much of like my sense of humor. Yeah, 100%. Like what I was attracted to is like, as a comedian.
Yeah, same. I think that any comedic actress, which are two words that I... Comedic actress. Like, what does that mean?
Sure.
Also actress.
Yeah. But like, if someone came in there and tried to play it for comedy, it wouldn't have been as good.
You're right.
Like, and you can pick up on that right away.
Oh my God, this is all coming back to me. First R-rated movie I ever saw was Scary Movie because my sister and I wanted to see it so badly. Mm-hmm. We were not 17.
Very controversial film.
So our mom brought us to see the first Scary Movie. And then by the time... I forget which actor this was. One of the Wayans brothers. By the time he's like in the bathroom and there's that glory hole thing, and then he gets stabbed
fucked in the ear
and dies. My mom was like, "We're leaving."
Yeah,
and I just remembered that.
I think that happened to us with Anchorman. We went to Dorney Park, me and all my cousins.
Is that rated R?
No, it was rated PG-13. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But we went to Dorney Park with my cousins, and it poured rain so much so that they closed down the park, and we were like, "Fuck." And my parents were like, "All right, we'll go take them to the movies." So they took us to see Anchorman. And I was probably like 13, 14. Yeah. But I was with my sister who was 10 and my cousin who was 9, Christina and Chelsea. And my cousin Michael and I were laughing hysterical. And I think they made it 10 minutes and they were like, "No, we have to take the girls out, the younger kids." And the first time I watched that movie, I was like, "I don't fully get this, but I know it's funny." And the second time I watched it, I was like, "No, this is the best movie of all time." Mm-hmm, Anchorman, mm-hmm. I fucking loved.
Is it PG-13?
I think it is. And then there was like an unrated version that came out as the DVD.
Yeah. I remember a moment with Austin Powers. With a lot of vagina. When she says, "In Japan, men come first and women come second." And he's like, "Oh, sometimes no one at all." And then I remember asking myself, like drilling her and being
what
does that mean? And she's like, "It's a joke. Let's move forward." And I said, what does come mean? Tell me what come means. And she's like, "Let's move forward." And I was like, "Okay, so what come is bad?
Let's move forward." Like,
let's...
Oh, anyways. My God. I mean, I feel like people are...
Now I get it.
Now we get it.
Because I know what coming.
My dad chased me out of the room with Austin Powers 2, and then I went back in the room because he was laughing so loud at it. And I was like, "What is it? I want to be involved." And it's like, "No, you have to get the fuck out of here. This isn't for you."
This is the thing. I had no one explain it to me because I would just get the Austin Powers movies from the library, watch them by myself in the basement, and not have anyone explain to me what the jokes are. And I could... probably still do with another like watch through and like pick up on things that I have not picked up on.
We recently spoke about Clueless, watching the movie Clueless. Like, being as young as we were when that came out, you wouldn't get anything. I didn't get anything about the movie Clueless. And then later on, but I always liked it. But then later on, you actually get what they're talking about, and it's like, wow, this is actually so good.
I think people in our age group are finally now owning up to the fact that the scary movie, like the movies like the Scary Movie movies and Austin Powers movies were like comedically influential for us.
Yeah, they were great.
And that's all you need. You just need the key. If you're at a formative age, you just need to see someone who can like I mean, it could, I guess it would be considered hack now, but those were like blockbusters.
The blockbuster comedy movies that like Austin everybody Powers saw that you iconic. Could quote with your friends.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And it plants the seed.
Yeah, it really does. Seed. I mean, that was actually the first time I ever think I wrote creatively was like I happened to be in a creative writing like class that was like an elective in ninth grade. And all my friends were talking about this actually is the way I was bullied in middle school a lot and then didn't have any friends. And then in ninth grade, like everyone was talking about Anchorman and I had just seen it. Mm-hmm. And I was like quoting the lines and like quoting lines with them was the way I became like friends with everybody. Like we all kind of thought the same thing was funny. And then I remember that was the first time it really clicked for me. It was like, oh wow, somebody writes that movie.
Sure.
And then like, I also really got into the television show Lost. And I was like, wow, someone writes this. I
can't connect to this, but keep talking.
Just those two things. Like, I was really, like, comedically satisfied by, like, Anchorman and all those, like, dumb comedies that were coming out at that time. Like, Wedding Crashers came out at that time.
Oh, sure.
And, like, Scary Movie 3 and all that shit. And then also, like, I was so into Lost. And then I got really into Desperate Housewives.
Right.
And I got really into Grey's Anatomy. And was into all the ABC network dramas. And I'm like, oh my God, wait, hold on. Storytelling.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I ever realized that was like a thing people could do.
Mark
was
Cherry.
Was be a writer in that way. Because at the time I was such an idiot. I just thought being a writer meant like you wrote for a newspaper. Or like wrote novels.
Mm.
And yeah. I was like, well, that seems like really hard. Or like not interesting.
Yeah, I think my concept of like film and television was that like you write, direct, you star.
Yeah.
You do have that's oh like Anna Faris wrote and starred in this yep. movie and she directed it and very cool. She's the lead character, so she made this movie.
Wow.
And this is her movie and what a feminist thing to do.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
I don't know why I keep bringing up feminism. I'm not a feminist and I hate feminism.
And with that thought, we actually have to take a quick break to have a word from our, you guessed it, bitch, sponsors.
Yes.
And we'll be right back after this Rukuku, bitch.
Rukuku.
Bitch, I hope that you're sitting down at this moment.
Yes.
Because I'm about to give you something. It's a little bit of an offer.
It's a little offer.
And you're going to want to take advantage of this.
Yes.
Okay? For you, the listeners of Las Culturistas, and thank you so much for listening, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com.
$50?
You got to take advantage of this. Ugh. Yes. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress, bitch, at a shockingly fair price, okay? Mm. It's got the right sink. It's got the right bounce. Because it's made up of two technologies. It's latex foam and memory foam. And they come together for it's amazing sleep. Recently, my boyfriend and Henry and I, we were looking for a new apartment and we needed to stay with some friends. So our one friend, Patrick, let us stay with him. And he said, I have a Casper mattress. And I had heard about Casper mattress, but I had never slept on one. Let me tell you, I'm not even joking. I was out when I laid down. I couldn't wait to be laying in the bed.
You got your life. You couldn't wait to be laying in the bed.
I got my life. This was, it's really the best mattress I've ever had. We talk about it.
And Patrick was like, this is a status symbol. Honey, I have a Casper mattress.
He was like, you want to stay at my apartment? I have a Casper mattress. So now, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade.
Give it the Oscar for mattresses.
Rightfully so. So I don't know what you're waiting for. You got to get one. So this is an offer for $50 off any mattress purchase. You got to go to CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas. Again, one more time, write it down, bitch. Don't let it pass you by. www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas for $50 towards any mattress purchase. I mean, that's like, you gotta do it.
You're stupid not to.
At least look into it.
And here's what else you should look into. Warby Parker glasses, honey.
You gotta put these on your face.
Take it from me, honey. I've got a pair of Warbys at home, and I love them so much. Gag. We're sponsored by Warby Parker. Warby Parker is offering Las Culturistas listeners with a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses.
This is such a good deal.
Such a good deal. And they have a frame called Bowen, and it comes in many colors.
Oh, my God.
I love it
so
much.
Do you have the Bowen glasses?
I don't, but I should, right?
I mean, you should at least get them to try them on for 5 days for free.
Thank
and get
you.
Opinions on them.
Great
I mean,
idea. They make buying glasses online easy and risk-free because their home try-on program allows customers like you to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to their homes, where they can try them on in the comfort of their own home and get feedback from friends, family, colleagues, enemies.
I mean, come on. Ugh. Your enemies will see you in these Warby Parkers and they'll be like, oh, damn it, they have the upper hand on me today.
And you can say...
They look good.
Yes, and you can say, eat your heart out to
yeah,
your enemies.
Yeah, and you know what? You can see your enemies for who they really are because you'll be seeing very well because you're wearing the Warby Parkers.
That's beautiful, Matt. I love it. Users can keep the frames for 5 days before sending them back for free using the prepaid return shipping labels with no obligation to purchase.
I told my mom about this deal today and she could not believe it.
She couldn't?
Like, this is obviously an amazing company.
Get Katrina to try on some glasses.
I will, I think.
I think she could slay in some frames, honey.
She does on the daily.
On the daily, honey.
All you moms out there that listen to Las Culturistas, get yourself a pair of Warby Park.
And hey, once the surge in the market just goes crazy towards moms, Warby Parker will have us to thank.
Yeah.
To get your free home try-on today, go to warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. Again, write this down, bitch. That's www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas for your free 5-day home try-on.
All right, that's enough of that. Let's go back to the show.
Come on. And we're back with our guest, Patty Harrison.
Now, you guys, we were just talking about culture that influenced us in terms of comedic films and television.
Yes.
Well, comedic films and dramatic television.
Only those two.
Only those two. Actually, to be real, I still have a hard time watching comedies on television.
Really? Why?
You know what I like? Veep.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Great.
But I can't get on board with the stuff that, like, the mass is like in terms of comedy. Like, I watched about 3 episodes of Modern Family, and I was like, I'm good forever.
Wow. I couldn't get into Modern Family either. It's the weird pacing and the rhythms. I think it's... Mm-hmm. I just find it hard to get on board with things, I think, with my attention span, because I've watched an episode of Veep and I was like, this is incredible. And then I haven't watched any more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
See, Henry loves to binge Veep, and it's kind of like 30 Rock, where you could just watch
a million of them
and you could watch an episode again and it's still funny and it's great. But like with drama television shows, I get obsessed.
Sure.
I get obsessed. Like, I'll sit there and binge. Like, right now, you guys, listen, Patty and Bowen are not on board yet, but Big Little Lies. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it is such a gag. I gag constantly on this.
What is it about?
It is about...
Monterey.
It's about rich moms in Monterey, California. And it's like, basically, it stars Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and Shailene Woodley, and Laura Dern. And it's like the power struggle of moms. Like, it's like PTA really involved moms who treat the fact that there's conflict amongst the kids and birthday party drama on the same par as, like, the murder that happened. It's like Desperate Housewives, but with no wink. You know what I mean? It's like a really kind of... like heightened, dark, Desperate Housewives, but the moms are richer, the houses are bigger, and the quality is better.
Wow. I feel like...
You must. It's based on a novel, so it's only going to be one season.
Yeah.
So it's essentially like a miniseries.
Got it.
There's 7 episodes of it. It's not going to do a season 2, so it's going to be really good to binge. It's David E. Kelly and Jean-Marc Vallée, who did Dallas Buyers Club and Wild.
Wild. Yeah.
It's really good.
See, my thing is... as I saw previews for it, and I said, wow, this looks visually
pretty.
And pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But when are we going to have shows about older women and it's not a mom thing?
Right?
Right?
I want a Grey Garden scripted thing. Well, yeah. I mean, it's already happened technically, but like, you know what I mean?
Their qualms can, or their dilemmas can be beyond like motherhood.
Motherhood.
It's like, it's when you see, I don't know.
I will say.
I agree.
That. Here's what's cool about the show. The initial conflicts are based on, oh, something happened with our daughters. Oh my gosh, like this really bothers me. But then once you get to see what they're actually upset about, it's actually a really interesting examination on marriage. It's a really interesting examination on like, you know, what happens when you're someone who really is driven individual person, but you also have to take into account someone else's feelings. Like, it's like it's a lot more than just them being moms. Like, and I actually think that's part of the subversion of it, is it's like you do think that it is just going to be this thing of like, oh, that's funny that they
are fighting about birthdays.
It's funny that they get all into who's invited to this 5-year-old's birthday party. But it's for them, it's just like, that's just like what's on the surface.
Sure.
And the subject matter it deals with is really cool.
Exploring the deeper control dynamics.
Yes. Honestly, yeah, it's about power. The show is about power.
But I agree with Patty though. I want to see a scripted drama, female driven
feud.
That's about feud. But you know what? It's about spiders fighting.
Yes.
Spider Wars.
Spider Wars.
All,
if it's gonna take us to write
old women,
they've engineered these spiders.
Well, yes. No one knows.
It's kind of like a Pokemon or like
a
Beyblade,
yes.
Sort of, where it's these women meet in this field and then they release all their little spiders in this field. But yes, it's very strategic. It's not random.
No one knows
these
this, but
are masters.
Masters of masters. Spiders.
All spiders are old women.
That's true. Awesome. Did you ever watch Escaflowne?
No, it's familiar, but I did not. Was it about like a giant robot?
It was about giant robots. It was like Gundam Wing, but prettier.
Oh.
Anyway, guys, I could go on.
Do you watch Girls?
Huh?
Do you watch Girls?
Famous anime Girls.
I watched the first season of Girls, and then I watched the most recent episode, which was crazy good.
Yeah, so
good. Yeah. I was put off after I watched like a couple, like,
sure,
portions of like episodes subsequently after the first season, and I was like, what is this?
And it got pretty weird in the second and third season, and then the fourth and fifth season were both so good. And this season's been great. Like this last episode, like everyone's freaking out about it because it is genuinely so amazing. But it's emblematic of what the show has been for the last 2 years.
Oh man, there's just this bottle episode from the past season, season 5, that with Marnie, and it's fantastic.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I've heard Allison Williams is knocking it out of the park with this boyfriend or ex-boyfriend narrative. I've heard lots of people gushing about it.
There you go.
I think a lot of people are turning a corner on AW, as she's known on Instagram.
I was apprehensive about seeing Get Out because I was like, how can this be good if Allison Williams is in it? Because I remember Peter Pan. I will always remember Peter Pan.
I
replay it. I'm replaying it now.
I live it.
But she fucking was amazing. That movie, like, she was such a... I couldn't imagine anyone else doing that.
Like, she's kind of perfect for that.
I have to see it.
Well, here's the thing. Not 2 nights ago, I say, Matt, let's go see Get Out. We have time to kill. We've approximately an hour and 44 minutes. The runtime of Get Out to go see Get Out. The theater's 2 streets away. Let's go. And he goes, I'm too scared. But then I said, no, it's not. It's supposed to be amazing and not just a scary movie. And then today,
how scary is it?
It's not like it's like a thriller.
Here you go. And then there's a piece.
Are there sudden moments?
There was a piece in Vulture today that said the headline was just stop being a coward or don't worry, cowards. Get Out isn't that scary.
Yeah, it's not like jump scare.
Right.
It's not like a spooky like a clown creature scary.
Right.
It's more like suspense in like a suspenseful thrill. I guess it would be like. Like Silence of the Lambs gets lumped in as a horror movie, but that's more like not. It's like a suspenseful thriller, and you're like following. And I would say Get Out is not comparably violent by any means.
There you go. An endorsement.
All right.
It's great.
Listen, I know I have to see it. I want to go see it. I cannot wait to go see
it. We will see it.
It's just like you know, listeners of Lost Countries will know I'm a jumpy boy.
Little jumper.
What movie did you see that you were like, this is so scary, I regret?
To give you an idea of what goes on in here, and I'm speaking to like my chest and my stomach, like I just get so physically inhabited. I had to stop watching Breaking Bad because it was too much. Like I made me anxious to go see it. I couldn't even start to watch Stranger Things because it was too scary. But I'll get over it, you guys. I'm gonna go see it.
That's okay. You don't have to be apologetic about
it. No, but I feel like it sucks for me because it's stuff that I want to go see. Like, I want to go see that shit.
It does suck and it changes how I think of you, but, you know, it's okay, I guess, because what do I matter? I'm just, you know, an influential internet
icon.
Celeb.
Yeah. Patty
will
is...
drag you to death, bitch. I will drag
Patty
you.
Will fucking drag you.
Drag you.
She'll call you fucking.
I'm gonna get dragged.
What does it snooty mean?
Snooty mean.
There you go.
What were we just talking about before we got on this?
I forget.
Casper mattresses?
Yes.
By the way, you should go out and get a Casper mattress.
Honestly, changed my life.
So fucking
Patty,
good.
Do you want to?
And they're great to fuck on, too.
I will All not. Right. Yeah, so great to get dicky downed. Yeah. To get dickied down.
Once you put your face on a Casper mattress, it won't even matter that you can barely breathe because you're getting fucked so hard by your partner.
Actually, the design of the mattress, you can breathe no matter how many knees are on the back of your head. You can breathe.
And also, if you're having trouble seeing afterwards from having your face smushed into the Casper, get on a pair of Warby Parker glasses, and you'll never have seen more 2020.
Guys, we are so excited to have sponsors. You have no idea.
I clapped like a seal.
You just clapped like a seal.
Patty, look at her fucking seal-like.
Fucking seal.
Patty Harrison's a fucking seal.
So wait, seriously is not in the Hearst Tower anymore?
No.
No, we are, we're,
where
I don't
are
know
you?
If I'm going to give away my building.
Don't give it away. But they're not in the Hearst building anymore.
We're
they
in the Hudson. We're in the Hudson. Find the barge. That's where I'll be.
I just always
on my
pass,
Casper mattress with I my always, ass up in the air.
I always pass by the Hearst Tower because I'm a tour guide on a bus. And woo. I always look up at it and I think, oh. My friends are doing comedy there.
No, I went there. I wasn't there. So seriously was there and then mm-hmm. they left. But then I went back there recently and I went inside and I was like, because everyone is, I think our building right now is very nice. It's like mm-hmm. my first like official comedy job.
Uh-huh.
And I was working at a restaurant before. So I'm just like amazed to be like working in the city. And like this is all
but
very
But you
cool.
miss working at restaurants.
Well, everyone, yes, honestly, I miss working at a restaurant, and someday I will own one. It's gonna be called ham sandwich store, and not affiliated with Theta Hamel. It's gonna be called ham sandwich store,
ham sandwich.
And we're gonna be selling not even artisanal ham sandwiches. I'm gonna go out to the store. I'm gonna buy some bread, and I'm gonna buy some ham.
Fuck it up,
some yes. boar's head.
Also, Theta cannot do anything because Theta's old moniker used to be Ham Sam. Which,
sandwich.
Sandwich and not sandwich. So there you go. You're in the clear. But, okay, so you...
Anyways.
So this is... So you went back and you saw... You went back
the
to
Hearst
the Hearst
building's
tower.
Just beautiful. It's
so great. And did you know it's made of over 95% recycled steel? And at the top of the building, there's a basin that catches all the rainwater and precipitation, and they use that water to heat, cool, and power the building. It has a platinum certification, LEED certified, a leader in energy and environmental design. It was actually the first skyscraper to be constructed after the events of 9/11. So it holds a very special place in New Yorkers' hearts.
Yeah, that's what I always think about when I see Hearst Tower.
Matt, that is devastating. That whole thing you just did, watching
oh,
you do it.
It devastated no one more than me.
I don't, I mean, you guys can't see this because it's a podcast, but his eyes, he welled up.
And they're fully bleeding right now.
I welled up and blood came out of them. It's crazy what happened. I welled up clear tears and then I cried blood.
Matt, ooh, if you really want to, you can date a building. Okay.
I really want to fuck the Hearst Tower. You know, construction began on the Hearst Tower in 1928. And then in 1929, obviously, the stock market crashed. So the building only stood at 6 floors for almost 75 years until 2006 when the Hearst Corporation, they had their money back. They had Patty back. And they began construction on... what was to be completed as the Hearst Tower, but here was the thing. The building had been historically landmarked. So when that happens, you can't touch it, you can't change it, you can't even look at it the wrong way. So they had to find a loophole. So what'd they do? They literally created a loophole. They dug out the middle of that Hearst Tower and built that modern steel structure from the 6th floor up, and now we have the amazing, green, environmentally friendly building we have today.
Matt, this is fucking psychotic, and I have called the police under the table. I have truly called the police.
You guys should all be paying me money right now because I'm giving you part of the experience.
And oh my God, wait, hold on. I'm looking outside our window. There's a sax player who's doing a break dance. Oh my God, Matt, tell us about him.
Matt, what about him?
Well, you know, buskers can make up to $500 a day, says Gothamist Magazine.
Is that true?
Allegedly.
Let's all be buskers.
That's how I begin that segment. Anyway,
oh,
you guys,
great.
Come do the tour I do. I don't want to say the name.
Oh, why not? Why not just self-plug your own job?
No, because why?
Because why, guys?
Wait, okay.
This it's is called Matt Tours.
Matt Tours.
Matt Tours.
Spider Tours.
Spider Tours.
It's called All Lives Matt Tours.
Only for yes, people west of the Mason-Dixon.
You guys, we have a really amazing...
I just have to say real quick, the intonation of was it Miami?
Wait, what did I say?
I'm the head witch.
Oh yes.
I'm the head witch. After you are killed,
I'm the greatest witch.
Witch.
Oh my god.
Anyways,
I think Patty.
I'm the greatest witch.
I'm glued. But then you canceled halfway through.
No, we didn't cancel it. It's just that sometimes inspiration doesn't strike. Although we can announce right now.
No, I respect that.
What are we doing? I don't know what this is.
It's time to announce
what is happening.
That there will be.
We've announced this
a
already.
Two nights in Austin coming out on March 5th and March 6th.
Oh my God.
We're doing it. We're going to be driving and we're going to be in College Station.
We're going to be in College Station, Texas. Everyone can look out for us there. All of our fans in College Station, we're coming on March 5th. And all of our fans in Austin, we're going to be out on March 6th. We're going to be in production.
We're going to shoot on South Congress.
Let's just say one of the episodes, we're excited to announce the episode title.
Here we go. What is it?
Feud.
This is honestly the first I'm hearing of this. And also...
aren't you fucking itching your skin about that? Because you love to call yourself the producer of this project. You love to be in creative control. You love to be in the driver's seat. Well, guess what? I'm here too.
Okay, well, this is... Matt Rogers is the showrunner. There's been a little bit of a power struggle here. I just want to say, Patty, to address this, we did have to cancel. I felt like viewership and engagement was down. I felt like it was time. Why not go out?
On the set, Bowen is a very negative presence.
No, I will
say that. Like, when we're on the set of Nights In, Bowen will get very negative when he feels like we're not fulfilling his creative vision, because he gets very narrowed in on what he wants it to be.
That's not fair.
He really cares about likes. I don't know if anyone knows
Bowen, Faye Dunaway, really cares about likes.
And once things aren't immediately hitting, he immediately gives up and thinks we should just do other things on our vacations. But I don't want to do other things on our vacations. I want to create content.
I want to remove the stigma of caring too much about likes. Likes are the most immediate feedback we have now. And, you know.
Do you care about likes, Patty? You do.
Wait.
I do. And I guess my relationship with likes is kind of not. What a lot of people have with likes. And I think if I explained it now, it would sound all Willy Wonky, and then I would probably just sound crazy or something.
You're
but honestly,
the question.
It's like a love-hate relationship, and I think a lot of people can identify with that in the very least with anything other than likes. You know, you have your parent, and some people say, I love my parent, but I don't like my parent. You have that. You know, that's kind of the same thing anyways.
I don't know. Bowen is
difficult, and we've seen it. And we know that he's difficult.
Yeah, let's get back to the point, which is that Bowen is very difficult.
All right. Yes, you know what?
I just hope that going into this next series, these next two series, that Bowen will give an open mind, because we have a great cast.
We do.
We have a great cast. And I won't announce who they are, but you know what? It's a great cast.
My dream is that someday, and not in a shoehorned way, that it naturally occurs.
That you're in.
That I am, for some reason, I'm traveling with.
I was just going to say.
Come on, let's
book
a trip.
It would be an honor to travel with Patty and do a night.
Where would you like to go?
Wildest dreams, pie in the sky. Where's the location?
I do want to say, I do my best work in Orlando.
I agree.
In general, it's because the reason why Chicago was tough was because it was hard to shoot. Because we couldn't do outdoor scenes.
It was cold.
It was very cold. And it was windy and cold, and we were just indoors, and it just
too much light reflecting off that bean.
Off that bean.
The bean was...
So, Patty, with that in mind, what's your dream location?
In the United States, I think California is just so diverse, the terrain. Even like the hills where like you can hike, and it's like Puma country. It's like scary.
Yes.
But it's just very beautiful, tall grass.
Yes.
Like it's you could like
feel, yeah, I see a shot with someone running up a hill.
Yeah. With their arms in that way, like a Paulina Rubio.
Thank you, Paulina. Yes. Somewhere she just shot up out of bed. Like who said
I'm
my
sure
name?
She's doing fine. People fucking love her.
Paulina.
Okay, all right.
No, charged.
Guys, listen, we have a new segment to debut today.
Come on, this is a historic episode.
This is really going to be great because I know that what you all gag for and what you all wait for is I Don't Think So, Honey. But the thing is, we've given birth to a sister segment of I Don't Think So, Honey. And it's called, take it away, Bowen.
My Perfect Little Doodah Day.
Yes.
Now, what we have people do, this is a social segment. We want you to submit to us a short description of your perfect culture-filled day. And in your wildest dreams, what would you do? Money is no object. Location is no object. You can fly anywhere and back within the day. Mm-hmm. And so we've gotten some great responses now. Now what we're going to do is we're going to read one. And then as a group with Patty, we're gonna critique. Yeah.
Can I ask just to clarify, yes. What is a culture-filled day?
Well, it can really mean anything. If culture to you, to little Cindy Lou Who means being in Whoville, then that means Cindy Lou Who will want to go back to Whoville.
Yeah.
And then
go. Well, I hope she would,
Yes, of course. I mean,
not be so incubated.
But
I think Cindy Lou Who, of all people, needs to go to a college in a big city.
I think Cindy Lou Who, right now, Cindy
Lou
Who,
abroad.
Yes,
yeah.
Cindy Lou Who has
study abroad.
A very high functioning executive in.
Go to South by Southwest.
Yeah,
there you go.
She, I think, should her parents, who obviously are very wealthy.
Yeah, I mean, Christine Baranski's your mom.
No, she was the next door neighbor.
Oh, I thought she was the mom.
Mm-mm.
Wasn't okay. She horny too?
She was horny and rich, and that was like the who that she was.
You're deformed. Yeah.
She basically really wanted to fuck the Grinch.
Oh, fuck.
So I think weird. She actually probably like had something going on.
Christine Baranski and the Grinch.
Yeah, yeah. She had something going on.
Guys, let's open this up to the listeners. If you think Christine Baranski's character in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
A little something going on.
Fuck the Grinch. Let us know.
Yeah.
Do you think she should, that she was unrightfully unfucked? Do you think she should have gotten some dickie?
I think
that
she has like a debilitating like Michael Fassbender-esque like sex addiction like in Shame.
Mm? Wow. I didn't see Shame, but
I think Christine Baranski in the Grinch is obsessed with sex.
In a way that it's like a violence against herself.
Yeah.
Sure. She's succumbing to
I think
all.
It's an illness.
It's like hurts. It's like chafy.
Right.
Yeah. It's like she shot those lights onto her house in that one scene, and then she got behind the door and immediately started weeping as she watched porn. Who porn?
Oh, I love
who
it.
Who porn? Their nose. It's the same, but their noses are different.
Exactly. It's just sex with fucked up noses.
It's just as fucking graphic.
I love it.
Honestly, thinking about Co-ed those who's DP. Fucking has gotten me really excited to do this segment.
Oh, great.
So, yes, we... And culture is open to interpretation. Culture could be, I sat out on my deck and drank a peach tea. If you live in Georgia, that's culture. So it's really just the way you want to spend your life for the day. Culture is life. Culture is not just film, okay? For the basics out there, culture is not just movies and music. Culture is not just Beyonce for you fucking basics.
Oh, wow. Matt is coming for the basics. Drag them.
Coming for my listeners, you fucking basics.
So today's Perfect Little Doodah Day comes from Jesse. Jesse, we love you so much.
Jesse.
And we're going to... Matt, you take it away. You read this.
Okay. I would like to read this culture by Jesse. My perfect doodah day. Wake up to Chance the Rapper. Eat a bacon, egg, and cheese and catch up on TV. Big Little Lies, Girls, New Girl, people should get back on it. And then I'd probably walk around a cool neighborhood in NYC or explore Brooklyn. So much culture. Or see a bunch of movies back to back in the theater. My night would probably consist of going to a lot of comedy shows till I wanted to barf and quit comedy forever.
Wow, that's from Jesse.
So, all right. So right off the bat, I'm going to say this sounds like a great day.
Sounds great. Yeah.
I would say, well, what are your initial thoughts, guys?
I want Jesse to go to a waterfront. I feel like that was what was the
I was
going to
say water
missing.
Park.
In New York City, though, she's keeping it pretty local to New York. I did say before that location is no object. Like, she could go.
No, I think she should have gone to a water park here.
Sure. I'm fine with, if Jesse's not a fan of water parks, I would suggest she go to the waterfront.
I think she needs to go to Split Splash
okay.
on Long Island.
You think so?
Yeah, I think the way I would critique this is she should do none of what she said. She should have woke up early,
mm-hmm.
She should have not, and she should have woken up to an alarm.
Cause she's not like, Chance the Rapper.
No, don't listen to that. Get into the car. Don't listen to any music. Just on the way there, text your friend. Say, hey, meet me at Splish Splash, which is a water park on Long Island. Mm-hmm. Drive out. Rent
no,
a car.
No context. Just at 9 a.m. in the morning, mm-hmm. her friends get a text that says, meet me
at Splish Splash.
And they know where to go. And then they meet there. They do all the rides until the park closes. At the end of the day, they go right home and they're exhausted because they had such a great time and they just go to bed.
Could you
to
imagine?
To me, I think that's what I would have done if I was Jesse. And sure. That, to me, makes this a failure.
Okay, Patty, did you have something to say?
Well, first off, I was going to say going to a theme park and riding every single ride mm-hmm. kind of sounds like it's, you know, having sex
be
to
careful.
The point where it's violence against yourself.
See,
it's
that's not true.
Where it's just chafing. It's just, it's not fun to ride that many rides.
It's Christine Baranski.
It is not that fun. It's jarring and your body hurts. Well, I would say the one thing she should do when she wakes up is listen to Chance the Rapper. I disagree. I think that she should definitely listen to him.
Yes.
I think he's you know, he's doing amazing stuff. He's unrepped. That is unheard of.
He's unrepped.
No label.
No. I mean, I think he probably has like an agent. And stuff.
Sure.
I misspoke.
But he's spoken at length about how he refuses to release anything via a label because they own all of the publishing rights and all of the and royalties. But anyway, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the most cultured part of the day, and I think it goes downhill from there. I need New Girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Patty's coming.
Although
for
I
New
will
Girl.
Say something, I watched New Girl on a plane, and then I watched another episode. And another episode, because guess what? It made me laugh.
And you just said that you don't watch comedies.
Nah, I know. Maybe Roja. Maybe I'm basic.
Basic. Patty, so so it all goes downhill. Any recommendations, constructive recommendations on how to make it better?
No, I hate giving people advice. I don't want to ever say anything constructive. I just want people to feel the sting of my...
A little
venom.
Yeah.
I'm a bitch. I honestly, I really like, I feel like I've watched New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I think, in terms of my opinions, that I think frustrates people sometimes with me is that I think there is this idea of, someone being a trans person in the queer community, mm-hmm. the media representation of a trans person is that naturally they're sassy or they're coarse.
Sure,
because it's kind of analogous to drag queens and it's that sass and that spark.
Yeah.
I have very, very neutral opinions about most things. I am very reasonable and I don't have super strong opinions. I do have strong opinions, but I can also in a lot of ways see like the opposite. I would say that because I don't like New Girl doesn't mean it sucks. I think mm-hmm. it means that it's just not for me, but I can appreciate the fact that it is entertaining to a lot of people and a lot of people that I respect. On that note, I think starting my day with watching New Girl would be a nightmare day, and I would slit, you know, my arteries and the back of my legs.
Yeah.
To
surely die.
Sounds like the recommendation is instead of watching, just great, Chance the Rapper's great start, but instead of the New Girl.
Well, she also said Big Little Lies and Girls. So maybe after Big Little Lies and Girls, she wants something that she can mindlessly watch while she, I don't know, brushes her teeth or something.
Is that she, well,
I think New Girl is a mindless watch and then Girls
big
might
lies.
The Big Little Lies. It sounds like there's nuance there, so that might be more challenging.
Sure. I mean, start with Big Little Lies and Girls, and then end with slitting your knee. Okay. Yeah. That sounds good.
And comedy shows. She said to go. Yes. She doesn't want to go and see comedy shows, so she doesn't see them anymore.
There you go.
Well, she's gonna go see them until she barfs.
Until she barfs and wants to quit comedy.
So that, but that's her dream day.
That's her dream day. But I think she wants to come
Seems
back in and ex- be excited about comedy and what she's doing. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think,
immerse.
Well, I think famously, is this true? Comedy shows earlier in the night are better, and then as they get a little bit later, they get a little bit wackier.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Wait, is this according to who?
This is just my assessment of like the theaters I've been to and seen. Like sometimes you sit for a show, and like oftentimes the like quote unquote good shows.
Mm.
We'll be at like 8 and 9:30 and then 10. And then the shows that are on like 11 and 12, it's like people maybe take them a little bit less seriously because there's less people there.
This is just, you're talking about programming theaters at theaters in general.
Yeah, I'm just saying like at that point it's like, oh, okay, we're taking this a little bit less seriously now. Yeah. Now I can barf.
Wow. I see that. Yeah. I think those slots, you know, if someone has like an 11 or later show, they're probably like, there's not as many people coming this, I can be more lax with my performance and my presentation.
There you go.
And then it's so it you know, becomes wackier.
Whereas, like, if you get booked on a show at 4 p.m., you better bring your A game because it's very early in the day.
Ellen will be there.
Yeah. Ellen will be there. It will be packed. She's going to bring Portia.
Ellen comes to shows.
Ellen comes to shows. That's what I love about her.
Ellen heckled me.
What did she say? Time. What did she say?
I was, get this.
Mm. I'm getting it.
I was on a showcase for one of the biggest networks on TV.
Oh, my God. You can't say what it is. Don't say it.
I can't say what it is.
Don't you dare.
FX. It was FX.
It was the FX Comedy Showcase.
Comedy Showcase.
Yep.
It was at 1 p.m.
Uh-huh.
At Much More's.
Yes.
I go up on stage.
Rest in peace.
And then Ellen.
Oh, no.
Ellen's sitting there. She's sitting there and fucking in her suit. And her full erect penis is just out. And she just says, I didn't come here to see some fucking tranny. And then she threw a handful of Swedish fish and pelted me.
Pelted you.
She pelted me. Was Ellen DeGeneres. This happened. This is real. And it was mortifying to me.
She sounds like a humiliating person.
She called me a tranny. And then she was like, just so you know, it's T-R-O-H-N-N-I.
Tranny.
E-I-G-H.
Tranny.
Like Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah.
Like how she spells tranny. Her name.
She sounds disgusting.
She's terrible. A bad person. Let's boycott Ellen.
I've legitimately come for Ellen on this show.
No, you have. But we are going to. I want to transcribe that story word for word, and I want it. I will make it my cover photo.
Yeah, good.
Just you watch. I want people to know about this.
We're going to print that on a t-shirt. We are. You know,
we are.
You
that's
laugh,
that's
but we are.
All right, guys. Well, you know what? No recommendations.
And then we're
going to
put your name on the end. Yeah. So just good luck getting ever booked on Ellen.
You know what? But maybe 10 years
don't
from now,
that.
She'll book you, and then you'll have to just very charmingly explain what this was about.
No. Okay, no. Wait. It was funny because it was a joke.
And she slowly removes her 17-inch flaccid
dick, and says, "I remember you, you tranny,
And
then someone comes out in a bear costume and scares you.
What? And then she gets up and. What
the
is
neck
that? Gets up, Phyllis! That's fine. She's like dancing.
Wait, that was my favorite part of the Oscars. I'm just kidding. I liked it, though. God. I liked that song. Ooh, yay!
All
right, Bowen, any more words of wisdom for Jessie here, who's given us her...
Honestly, that sounds like a good day.
Yes.
A lax-ass day.
I love
what about a cool neighborhood in NYC and exploring Brooklyn?
Yes, you explore the boutiques on Atlantic Avenue, my street.
She was vague here, yeah. Give some specific things she should explore.
I don't think she was being too vague. This is my only recommendation. I want her to go to Best Buy at Atlantic Terminal, buy a 2 terabyte hard drive, and I want her to back up every device she owns.
Yes.
Because you never know what's going to happen. This is a good day now, but law of averages, she's going to have a shitty fucking day where her laptop falls in a puddle.
And also that mall has a Cold Stone.
That mall has a Cold Stone. And that mall has an Auntie Anne.
And the sizes.
Gotta have it.
You always gotta have it.
No, I always do gotta have it. I always do the biggest fucking one. And you know what I mix?
What do you mix?
Cotton candy ice cream with strawberries and rainbow sprinkles.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm a gay man, bitch. Oh yeah.
And then you tip them. You tip them and then
I tip them and then they sing, "Hey y'all, we got a tip." And then they do this song. Few times I got tipped like that, but I never got tipped again. Hey, so I ain't got a tip in my jar. Ain't got a tip in my jar.
Is that a real?
Sounds very real.
So?
I don't think so. I think I made up that tune.
That's a good one. They can use that for free.
I gotta be honest. Every time I've ever gone into a Cold Stone Creamery and I ask for the ice cream of my choice, which changes day to day, so I'm not going to say one.
Okay.
Yeah, don't give that away.
I love mint chocolate chip.
Okay.
So, but anyways, sometimes I go in. Well, I guess not sometimes. Every time I go in, I say, And they ask me for the size. I say, gotta have it. Do I gotta have it? And then I kind of like look around and I say, yeah, I gotta have it. And then they look at me and they say, does Ellen know about it?
And she's behind you.
Yeah.
And so is the bear.
And just resting her flat. She rests it and it hits the base of my neck. That's how big her flaccid cock is.
And then one at a time, the creamers go TRONNIEIGH.
Tronny. Think about Ellen's dick. It's really visceral for me.
I love
it. We must move on.
We must.
Thank you, Jesse. I hope you can now live a better day.
Okay, and here we go. Now it's time. Honey.
Yeah.
Here we go. For those of you who don't know, I Don't Think So, Honey is the cornerstone of our podcast. This is where we each take 1 minute on the clock to rail against something in culture. And we have a very exciting announcement about I Don't Think So, Honey. This is our first episode since we've announced.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And you know what? Patty Harrison is going to be involved.
Patty Harrison.
On March 21st at Littlefield, you guys, at 8 p.m., we have Las Culturistas Live, I Don't Think So, Honey. We have 50 comedians that are going to be coming up. They're all going to take a minute to do a live I Don't Think So, Honey. This is going to be so fun. We have some amazing people booked for the event. We're not going to name their names because they may drop out.
I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx it.
You're right. Patty.
I just want to make sure that everyone like is there.
Patty, if you drop out, we will send Ellen for you.
I will send Ellen.
Okay. But all right.
We have amazing people, seriously. People from SNL, people from Late Night. It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be very fun. Okay.
Amazing.
Here we go.
Tonight show people.
Target Lady.
Target Lady is going to be there. People who fucking don't work at television shows who are just as good. I don't know who these people think.
Target ladies.
I think people like Snooty Mean.
Snooty Mean will be there.
We'll be there. Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. So I don't think so. I kind of have something prepared. What about you?
Well, Matt? Then you should go first.
Well, I kind of do.
Well, I kind Can of I? Don't at all. And so
wine.
Yes. Yeah, we're pouring Patty some more wine. All right. Well, you know what?
I'll start. We've been drinking. Okay. What? What the fuck? You sit where you are and you judge. I don't think that's very Jesus.
Okay. That's so such a.
That's not very Jesus.
Such an incendiary, drag from Matt. I gotta say, Matt is very vocal, very political these days. That is a political statement.
Well, you know what? Judge not, lest you be judged.
Okay, here we go. This is my.
It's exhausting to think in these terms, but I do. All right, Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey starts. Nah.
I don't think so, honey. Gay shopkeeps, when I walk into their boutiques and they shoot me mean eyes because I'm wearing gym shorts. Bitch, I am a customer, a potential customer, until you shot me that stupid fucking mean mug. Honey, I was going to buy maybe a nice Stephen Allen shirt. How about that? Stephen Allen on Atlantic Avenue. I see you, bitch. Those shopkeeps wearing their fucking, you know, tortoise shell glasses who think they're all that. Honey, no, honey. I don't think so, honey. I'm there to shop your wares. I'm there to try on your fucking, you know, twill shirts. And I was going to buy one, even though it's overpriced at like $150. I was going to shell out that $150 for that twill shirt, honey, until you shot your unshaven, craven fucking face at me, bitch. I don't think so, honey. I will not give you my money, and I will never give you my money. I will be shopping at the Muji, at the Everlane, at the Uniqlo's, honey, of the world, because those shopkeeps are on my level and they treat me with respect.
That's 1 minute.
Wow.
I gotta say, I love that you said shopkeeps.
Shopkeeps. That's what they are, honey. If this were feudal fucking society, they would be nothing. They would be the rabble, and I would go into their stores, and I should be the ones shooting mean looks.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Rabble?
The rabble.
What is that?
It's like riffraff.
The riffraff. The rabble. I remember I learned what that word meant when Maleficent, Angelina Jolie's Maleficent was like, you invited everyone, even the rabble.
She goes, well, that's a crazy fucking Maleficent impression.
Even the See, my problem with Angelina Jolie is she's not sexy enough.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Sure.
One of the ugliest women in
she's
Hollywood.
She's just not sexy enough. Like, for me, it's like, come on, like, do a little bit more sexy. For me, every actress, just do it a little bit more sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm a casting director in Hollywood, I'm just sitting behind my desk and I'm like, come on, do it more sexy.
Okay. All right. So Patty, do you mind if Matt goes? And then
yeah,
after
no.
you've seen two being done, you'll know.
Now, I know a topic that I want, and who knows how it'll turn out.
Okay, here we go. You know what? This is the beauty of I Don't Think So, Honey. We were never fully prepared until we go.
You're never fully dressed without a smile.
And this is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, when servers and bartenders pour beer in a smaller glass just because of the kind of beer it is. Bitch, I want my beer in a fucking 16-ounce pint every time. I don't want to hear that you recommend a fucking Belgian pale ale and then I get it in a fucking scoop dupe glass. I want my beer in a tall ass glass. I don't want to get a beer next to my friend and all of a sudden just because he gets a Stella, he gets to have a big ass beer. I want to have just as much volume in my glass as ever. And guess what? I don't know if you're trying to protect me because I can handle myself, bitch. I've been 21 for 6 years coming in 3 days. Yes, that's right. It's my birthday. All right. Well, guess what? If I wanted something in a small glass that was an alcoholic drink, I would have ordered a glass of Merlot, Cabernet, Rosé, any of the whites. I would have ordered wine. I would have ordered a mixed drink if I wanted a small glass. Don't give me no cooler. Don't give me no scoop dupe. Give me a pint if I order a beer. I demand it. I don't think so, honey. All of you.
And that's 1 minute. Matt Rogers coming for glass sizes.
Today, I had dinner with my parents, an early dinner, and they told me I needed to order this beer, this palm ale.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
And I said, that's amazing. What is that? They said, it's a Belgian ale. It's amazing. And they gave it to me in this fucking
little tumbler.
A little tumbler. Ugh. And I'm like, what the hell?
No, unacceptable.
I don't like that. And especially during the Christmas season, honey.
Well, when you need, good when thing you, it's the Christmas
when,
season.
No, it's not. But guess what? This is when you really need to look out for it because that's when they get real crafty with the beers. And so you want a chocolate beer. You want a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Guess what? It's going to come in a fucking thimble.
Yeah.
So just make sure that you know what you're ordering.
Sure.
And ask the server, is this going to come in a regular ass glass or am I going to get fucking 2 sips out of this thing?
I don't
and
think
half the thimble's filled with a pine cone.
Yeah.
Or something seasonal.
For the flavor. And I'm like, you know what? Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I would really get into it.
I don't think the onus is on us as customers to ask about the sizes. That's just me. It should be on them to choose the glasses.
Yeah, I mean, just let me know if I'm going to get like a little fucking cup of beer.
Sure.
What does onus mean?
Like the responsibility.
It's anus, but with an O.
Sure.
Like, horny.
The responsibility isn't on you to be like, I want this thing and this thing and this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just bothers me when I feel like I'm not getting what I paid for.
There
and
you go.
Also, very commonly, those beers are like $12 each.
Oh, sure.
The ones, the real craft ones.
Overpriced.
I'm looking at the straights. You know when you order a craft beer at a bar?
They're nodding.
Yeah.
Okay. Nod. Patty?
Okay.
Are you about ready for a 1 minute?
Okay. It might be meeker. It might be
okay.
Meek.
But you know what?
You make it's it your okay. own. You make it your own.
Okay.
Great. We've had people on here that have been really meek.
Okay.
Okay, whatever that means. Now, this is Patty Harrison's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
Okay, people who undershare, especially when you ask someone what their weekend was like and you Ooh. Come in, especially someone like me, I always lead strong. I lead vulnerable. I think the best way to have a good conversation is to really let yourself be open and say something gross. I usually lead with something about my bowel movements. If I come back from a weekend, someone was like, how was your weekend? I was like, oh, it was crazy. I am not regular right now. I farted and shit came out. And that's, you know, that's me being open with you. And then when I ask you back, you're just like, oh, yeah, it was fine. I went to a bar. And then you start to walk away with your tea. And I'm like, no, come back. Come back to me. Or if I say something like, oh, yeah, I can't do butt sex for a while now because I got a rip because someone put their wiener in too fast and you bleed. And then I'm open with you. And then someone is like, oh, well, this weekend I was going to see Get Out, but I stayed in and I watched Stranger Things or some shit. That is just rude to me. And that's a full minute.
Yeah. I don't think so, honey.
I don't think so, honey. I don't feel like that. Yeah. I don't feel like that.
You did it.
You
made your mark.
I didn't say a lot.
Let me tell you something, Patty. You didn't waste the opportunity. Not like the others.
Because Patty, you know what you did? You got real. About vulnerability.
You got vulnerable. You talked about your asshole rip.
They're bleeding in the seat.
In the seat. That's sexy.
In the seat right now.
Look, I just want to say, Patty, I hope we did not fail that test because before we started rolling, Patty, Matt, and I were talking all about butt stuff.
butt stuff.
In a real way.
I think we got right on the same page.
We were all on the same page about butt stuff.
Yeah.
It is an art. It's a craft.
It is truly a craft. It is a sport, I will say, because you have to exercise that muscle. Yes. Literally.
I'm actually now just getting into, you know, penetrating myself.
Great. See?
You guys, it's been an amazing episode. right? Is that all the time we have?
Yeah, that's all the time we have.
Joe sadly nodded yes.
Can we harmonize?
Like, yes. Yeah, okay. Here we go. So, arpeggio.
When you dream, it can be amazing. When you dream, it can be so good. When you dream, you can fly forever. When you dream, you dream with me.
Whoa, for the longest time, right?
Whoa, for the longest time. I've been dreaming. I don't know the words. You guys... Patty Harrison
came in here and slayed the gig.
And you know what? She is going to be at Las Culturistas Live, I Don't Think It's Haunting, on March 21st at Littlefield. Come at 8 p.m. 50 comedians. It's going to be unbelievable. Get us a review on iTunes, you guys.
Yeah, rate us, review us on iTunes. We'd love that. And look, we fucking love Patty.
Fucking love Patty.
Patty, where can people find you on online?
You know, seriously.tv. That's the website that I work for. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitter.
Yep.
You know, Twitter and Instagram. Party_Harderson.
Party Harderson.
As you'd imagine, it's spelled. I did not give that name to myself. It was given.
Yeah. Right, of course, yeah. Of course.
And yeah, I'm just, yeah.
Well, hell yeah.
We love you, guys.
We love you. We thank
you.
Forever Dog, thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. And Bowen, here we go, bitch.
All right, here we go, bitch. Bye. Matt Rogers, bye.
Rukuku.
Rukuku.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.